Out of the Teva, he builds a Mizbeach. And after building the Mizbeach, the Pasuk says that Vayal Oilos b'Mizbeach, that he offers up Korbonos on the Mizbeach. Takes from the behemoths which were Tahiris, takes from the kosher animals that he took with him into the Teva, takes from each species, and he offers up korbanos on the Mizbeach. The Pasuk continues, and the Pasuk says, Vayorach Hashem es reach anichoyach. That the Ribbono Shel Olam, the literal translation is that the Ribbono Shel Olam smelt the pleasant smell of the korbanos. Vayemer Hashem el liboy, and the Ribbono Shel Olam says to himself, Lo'yosif lekalel oid es ha'adomo ba'avur ha'odom. That I'm never again going to curse the adomo. I'm never again going to curse the earth. I'm never again going to destroy the earth. Ba'avur ha'odom, because of what mankind did. Why not? Ki yetzer Leiv ha'odom ramin urov, because this is the nature of a person. The nature of a person is that from birth, basically, he has a tendency to do the wrong thing, and therefore, v'le'asif oid lahake, says kol chai, I won't ever destroy the entirety of the living creation, kasher asisi, as I just did in the Mabul, with the exception of Noach and the exception of Noach's family. Which means that the Pasuk is saying that the reason why the Ribbono Shel Olam makes this decision, as it were, that he's never again going to destroy the world, is because the nature of a human being is, the nature of a person is, from birth, it's an inherent part of his whole being, that he has a tendency to do the wrong thing. Or he has a desire to do the wrong thing, and he can't control the desire that he has to do the wrong thing. And that's the reason why the Ribbono Shel Olam is not going to destroy the world again. In other words, the Ribbono Shel Olam, as it were, is saying to himself, okay, let's face it, this is the Metzius. I created these people, and this is the nature of these people, that they're constantly going to shoot themselves in the leg. And therefore, what's the point of destroying them the whole time? Because if we're going to keep destroying them, there's no point in creating them, because this is what they're going to do. This, at the end of the day, is the nature of the human being. There's a tremendous problem with this, because there seems to be an open contradiction to this in a pasuk previously, which is talking about the reason why the Mabul came, the reason why the Ribbono Shel Olam decided to destroy the world. Because in the end of Parshas Bereishis, the pasuk says that Vayar Hashem ki rabo ra'as ha'odom ba'aretz, the Ribbono Shel Olam saw that the ra'as ha'odom ba'aretz, the negative actions that people were doing, was so widespread, it was so great. And he also saw the chol yetzer machshavos liboy rak kol hayom, that the very nature of the human being is to do the wrong thing, to shoot himself in the leg. Therefore, vayinochim Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam reconsidered or regretted ki osa es ha'adam ba'aretz, that he created man and therefore decided to destroy the entire world. So on the one hand, we have a pasuk in Bereishis which says that the reason why the Ribbono Shel Olam brought the Mabul onto the earth was that people are going to, by nature, to constantly do the wrong thing. And on the other hand, we have a pasuk in this week's parsha which tells us that the reason why the Ribbono Shel Olam decided after Noah came out from the Teva that he's never again going to destroy the entire world is because basically, what's the point? This is the very nature of a human being, that he will shoot himself in the leg and do the wrong thing. So in Monashach, either it's a reason for creating the Mabul, or it's a reason why the Ribbono Shel Olam is never going to bring another Mabul, but it can't be both. So what's going on here? In addition, the wording of the Psukim is very, very strange. Why? Because in Parshas Bereishis it says, "Vayar Hashem ki rabo ro'as ha'odom ba'oretz." The Ribbono Shel Olam saw that the negative things that people were doing was getting out of hand, ba'oretz. Now, lichura, that word ba'oretz is completely superfluous. If they were doing negative things, where were they doing it? Ba'oretz. So far there's nobody living on the moon, there's nobody living on Mars. Coates may disagree, but there's nobody living on Mars. And at the end of the day, obviously if they're doing Averis, they're doing Averis Baretz. So what does the Pasuk have to say that they're doing the Averis Baretz? In addition, in Parshas Noach it says, Ki Yetze Leiv Ha'odom Ra. That Yetze Leiv Ha'odom, the Yetze Hara of the Leiv of the Odom, is ra, is bad, is evil, is negative. Whereas in the Parsha of Bereishis it says, V'chol yetzer machshavos riboy rak ra kol hayoyim. And the word kol, v'chol yetzer machshavos, which appears in Bereishis, doesn't appear in Noach. And then in Parshas Noach it says, Yetzer leiv ha'odom ra minu'urov. Whereas in the Parsha of Bereishis it says, V'chol yetzer machshavos liboy rak ra kol hayom. It doesn't say anything about minu'urov. So there's all these differences which appear between the two psukim. Now, generally speaking, this whole story of the Mabul is a very, very, very strange story. It's a very... it doesn't make sense rationally and logically when you think about it. It was a Gzar Din, it was a judgment by God on the entire world, the entire universe, and the entire humanity, that he's going to destroy it. Yet there's endless psukim, and there's endless gemaras, and there's endless midrashim, and there's endless literature about the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam is a kel rachum, and he's a kel chanan, and he's got infinite patience, and Rabbi Lopez was talking about it, don't worry about what you did, nothing's going to happen. And here we're being told, you do something wrong, you get zapped out. So how does this shtim? How does this fit with the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam is a kel rachum v'chanan? In addition, it says in this week's parasha that the Ribbono Shel Olam destroyed the entire Yokum. He destroyed the entire universe. Kol asher al pnei ha'adama, anything which existed on the Adama, behema to crawling creatures to birds, and Chazal come along and Chazal say the following: what were the mechanics of the Mabul? What happened during the Mabul? Say Chazal, that what happened during the Mabul was, and Rashi brings this, that the entire Bria, the entire universe was destroyed. 15 Amas, up to 15 Amas over the top of the mountains. And there was 15 Amas above the highest mountains, and 3 Tvachim down into the ground. In other words, everything, we managed to slice off 3 Tvachim from the entire ground in the entire world, and he destroyed everything above that till a height which was 15 amas above whatever is the height of the tallest mountain in the world, whether it's been discovered or not. Right? That's the definition, say Chazal, of what happened in the Bria. Now, if you're going to tell me that human beings got punished, that I can understand. Human beings got punished because human beings have bechira, they have free choice. They chose to do the wrong thing, you choose to do the wrong thing, boom, you get zapped out. Fine. That I can understand. But what about everything else? What about the 3 Tvachim of the earth? What did they do wrong exactly? And what did the animals do wrong? Yeah, so I know there's a Rashi which says that the animals also decided to become homosexual for a thing. We had a lot of gay animals running around. Fine, right? So what? And then, of course, along come all the great... Well, shove and tell you in San Francisco, all the birds are gay. Well, fine. Very nice piece of information. But a bird hasn't got pechira, right? Doesn't make a conscious decision after a fight between its yetzer tov and its yetzer hara that it's going to be gay. There's no such thing. Animals don't have bechira. So why did the animals get wiped out? Why did the Adama get wiped out? Why did the elements get wiped out? And then, are you trying to tell me that every single person that existed in the world did exactly the same averis to the same degree? I mean, there are more serious things and there are less serious things. So everybody was evil. Fine, I'll accept that. But not everybody's doing the same thing. It's impossible that the entire world population were all of them doing exactly the same averis to the degree that they get exactly the same punishment. In order that everybody gets exactly the same punishment, by definition, that means that everybody was doing exactly the same thing for exactly the same reasons, with exactly the same background, with exactly the same possible excuses not accepted by the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's statistically not possible, such a thing. It can't be. The Pasuk says, Mefurish, that Atzur Tomim Paloi Ki Kol Drachov Mishpat. The Ribbono Shel Olam's judgment is perfect. Say, Chazal, what does that mean, that Ribbono Shel Olam's judgment is perfect? That when Ribbono Shel Olam judges a person, he takes everything into consideration. He takes into consideration that your mother stopped nursing you too early, and that's the reason why you're not putting tefillin on. He took into consideration that when you were a three-year-old, there were three or four times that your mother forgot to feed you bichlal, and that's the reason why you're not wearing tzitzis. He takes it all into consideration, all the garbage, he takes into consideration. Everything is weighed up. And then he says, and notwithstanding all that, boom, you're going to get castrated and zapped out. So if the Ribbono Shel Olam is taking everything into consideration, are you trying to tell me that every single individual person in the world, all their considerations were exactly the same in every single area, therefore everybody gets the same punishment? It's not shaykh, it's not possible. So how come that the whole of the Bria, on the one hand, the human beings, who obviously were doing different things for different reasons and with different justifications and with different yetzaras, and those elements in the Bria which didn't even have any Bechira and couldn't even decide whether they wanted to do the right thing or didn't want to do the right thing, because they haven't got the das, they haven't got the intelligence, and they haven't got the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara, and therefore they can't make decisions. They just work by instinct. So they're also getting zapped out. Why? It's not fair. Where's the Tzur Tomim Poloi in it? And there's a Muridiki aside here. There's a major principle going on here, which is a very, very relevant principle. There's a phenomena which exists that a person can get sick. There are people who become sick. They get an illness. They get taken to hospital. The hospital treats the illness. Either it works and the person survives, or it doesn't work and the person doesn't survive. Guy has a massive heart attack. They take him to hospital and they deal with a massive heart attack. If they can deal with it, fine. If they can't deal with it, Baruch Dynamis. But then you can get a individual who gets a certain type of sickness which is contagious. He gets a certain type of illness or a certain type of sickness which, if he comes into contact with somebody else, he will infect the other person. So a guy like that gets taken to the hospital, but if he's taken into hospital, then he's going to infect the entire hospital. Instead of having one sick guy, you're going to have 1,000 sick guys with a different illness that they get by being infected from this guy than what they had when they were originally brought into the hospital. So a guy like that, what do you do with him? You take him into hospital, but you put him into an isolated ward, right? You put him into isolation, because he can't come into contact with other people, because if he comes into contact with other people, he's going to infect them. There is, however, a third situation as well. There is a situation where the infection is not just an infection which will get passed from one individual to another individual, but it's an infection which is going to affect the Bria as a whole. Right? Nuclear fallout. Right? If a group of Eastern European backward retards decide to try and build a nuclear reactor, which of course by definition is going to implode one day, and it does, it doesn't only kill or infect the people around, but at the end of the day the entire area becomes infected, and anybody who's going to walk into that area, anybody who's going to live in that area, anybody who's going to try and exist in that area is going to become affected from the radioactivity. Therefore, close the whole place down. Don't let anybody in there for the next 1,000 years. Wait until everybody forgets that there was a nuclear explosion there, then let them come and get zapped out. So there is a hechatimsa. There exists in the world a concept whereby there is something which is a machla, there's something which is an illness, there's something which is a sickness, which can affect even a daimon. It can affect even the earth. It can affect even the animals. The animals, right, that existed at the point in time when the Chernobyl nuclear reactor exploded, got infected. And therefore, you now got seven-legged cows, and you've got giraffes with short necks, and all sorts of strange things happening. Why are they happening? They're happening because the area was infected, and therefore anybody's in the area got infected with the radioactivity. Anybody got infected by the radioactivity, you end up with four hands and six legs. Fine. Says the Rambam in Shmoneh Prakim that if you want to understand how Chet works, if you want to understand how Avera works, it works in the same way as sickness works on the physical level. In other words, the best moshel, the best way of understanding how Chet works, the best way of understanding how Averas work, is look at the way that epidemics work, look at the way that sickness works, look at the way that illness works, and then you can understand what Chet is all about, because Chet basically is a spiritual plague. Chet basically is a spiritual epidemic. That's what it is. Therefore, when it comes to Chet, there are chatoim that a person does which only affect him. And therefore, he goes to hospital, otherwise called as a mashgiach. And they deal with it, and they accuse him. And they cure him, or they don't cure him, right? There are chatoim that a person does which can infect somebody else. There are situations where you can do a chet, and the chet that you do has an impact on somebody else. And therefore, at the end of the day, not only you will be doing the chet, but he will be doing the chet as well. And you will bear responsibility that he did the chet. But there is a concept of chet whereby the impact that the chet has is not just on somebody else, but it's basically nuclear fallout. There's a concept of chet which creates nuclear fallout that the entire vicinity becomes infected. And if the entire vicinity becomes infected, there's absolutely nothing you can do other than close down the entire area for the next 1,000 years. This is not a punishment. You're not closing down the area as a punishment. Nobody was punishing anybody when they took the army out and surrounded Chernobyl for a couple of 100 miles in each direction and said, okay, nobody can walk in here anymore. It wasn't a punishment. It was a matzias. The area is infected with radioactivity. If you walk into the area, you are going to get infected. And if you get infected, you're going to die. So therefore, we're not going to let anybody into the area. Therefore, the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam destroyed the entirety of the universe, including the earth three tefachim down, including the air, which went up 12 amos above the mountains, including the animals, including the birds, including the fish, including the reptiles, anything. Everything got wiped out was not an Einish. The fact that mankind as a whole got wiped out wasn't an Einish. If it would have been an Einish and a Chanama, then the punishment would have had to be in accordance with the individual. Gyatzul, Tomim, Poli. And everything had to be taken into consideration. But if it's not a punishment, if it's a radioactive fallout, then it's got nothing to do with the individual. It's the matzias that anybody around in this environment is radioactive, and therefore he's not going to survive anyway. Therefore, what's the point? Therefore, the whole yisod of the mabul was, as the pasuk says, that v'hi nishchasa, that the oritz was nishchasa. The oritz, it was radioactively infected. The entire bria was infected. Why was the entire bria infected? Ki hishchis kol basa es darka al oritz, because of what people were doing. The actions that people were doing had got to that degree that this type of action completely infects the environment that you're living in. Anybody who, for whatever reason it was, didn't get radioactively infected, like the doggy, Taka survived. Why? Because no problem. They weren't infected, and therefore there's no reason why they should be destroyed. Noach himself, as far as Chazal are concerned, only survived for one reason. Because he wasn't infected. And that's why the pasuk, when describing Noach, doesn't call him a tzaddik. It calls him something more than that. It calls him a tomim. What does a tomim mean? A tomim means perfect. What does perfect mean? Non-infected. Has no begum. Was Noach survived because Noach, for whatever reason it may be, never got infected with radioactive fallout that came about through the chet of the Dor HaMabul. There are two types of people who do the wrong thing. There are people who do the wrong thing that they're basically decent people. They're just having Yetzer Hara. And not always is a person be able to control the Yetzer Hara. Therefore, sometimes he does the wrong thing. So in essence, he's a good person. It's just that sometimes he slips up and he does the wrong thing. But there are certain type of people whose very essence is Ra. They, in their entirety, their whole personality, that which they are is total negativity. They are people who are completely Ra. This whole concept of the Ribbono Shel Olam bringing the mabul on the world, because the world got infected with this nuclear fallout. Where did this nuclear fallout come from? It came from the fact that the Dor HaMabul weren't a group of people who were basically nice, decent people, but occasionally did the wrong thing. The Dor HaMabul were people who b'sheiris, the whole mahus, the whole entity was an entity which was completely ra. And therefore, that's why the pasuk says, "Vayar Hashem," the Ribbono Shel Olam saw, "Ki rabo roas ha'adam ba'aretz." And we said, "What does it say ba'aretz for?" Well, obviously it was ba'aretz. Where else were they doing these averus? The answer is, it's not a geographical location here that's being told to us. What the pasuk is telling us is the following: the pasuk is telling us that "Vayar Hashem ki rabo roas ha'adam," the Ribbono Shel Olam saw the type of behavior of the Dor HaMabul, and the Ribbono Shel Olam said that behavior, Ba'aretz, is going to affect not only them themselves, not only other people, but the entire universe. This is a nuclear fallout. This is something which is going to disturb the entire Bria. Therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam said, Em Ches Adam. There's no choice here. Here we have to completely wipe them out. In other words, wipe them out, and with wiping them out, I'm going to wipe out the reason why it is creating a nuclear fallout. Why? Because these people are totally ra. These people aren't nice people who do sometimes the wrong thing. These people whose whole metzias is a metzias of ra. And basically, that's the story of Amalek. Right? We find a parasha in the Torah where the Ribbono Shel Olam turns around and says, here's an entire nation called Amalek. Wipe them out completely. Men, women, children, animals. Everything. Genocide. Right? And everybody's saying, well, what's going on here? Why? What did the poor babies do that you have to slit their throats? What did the animals do? The animals didn't do anything. So why is the Ribbono Shel Olam coming along and saying wipe out the entire Amalek? The answer is because Amalek is not the individual who is a nice guy but sometimes slips up. Amalek is the individual whose whole essence, his whole being, whose whole entirety is an entirety of Ra. I saw in the Sforim, it's a very interesting thing. The Sforim say that the Pasuk says, in reference to the Dor HaMabul, that what they did was Rak Ra Kol Hayom, only evil the entire day. If you take the last letters of Rak Ra Kol Hayom, it's Rosh HaTevis of Amalek. Because it's the same principle. It's the principle of the individual who in his whole entirety, his whole being, is a being of never negativity. Okay, very nice. But what did they do? What was the action that they did that the Ribbono Shel Olam turned around and said, these guys aren't nice guys who are doing something wrong. These are guys who wipe them off the map because they are the Mahus, they are the Sheirish, they are a Molek, they are completely Ra. What was it that they did? So it's true that Chazal say that they were involved in Gilu Arayos. It's true that Chazal say that they were involved in Shvichas Domim. It's true that Chazal say that the final Psak Din came about because of Gezel. All these things are true. But these are all Titzais. These are all outcomes, and there were other things that they did as well. And if you look in Chazal, you'll see that there were plenty of other things that they did as well. But these were all manifestations of a root problem that existed, which defined them in the eyes of the Ribbono Shel Olam as not being nice people who sometimes slip and do something wrong, but as people who there is no hope for. They are wiped off the map. They are nuclear bombs that, if we allow them to remain around, are going to create nuclear fallout, which is completely and totally going to affect the entire universe. What did they do? So there's a fascinating Maimon Chazal. And Chazal say the following. Chazal say that the Pasuk says that Bishnas Sheish Meir Shana Lachaye Noach, that in the 600th year of Noach's life, in other words, when Noach reached the age of 600, in the second month, 17th day of the second month, and as a machlokes what the second month means, if the second month means Cheshvan or the second month means Iyar, depending whether you start from Nisan or whether you start from Tishri. B'yemazel, on this day, Nivku Kol Mayanis Tahim Rabo, Ve'aruvus Hashemayim Niftachu. All the water sources which were Tahim Rabo, which were in the great depths, and also the water sources that are above, they all opened up and the world flooded. And Chazal have a problem. Why does the Torah use the expression Tahim Rabo? What does it mean, the great depths? Right? Yeah, the water sources were underneath the ground. Why Rabba? Why does the Torah use the word Rabba? So, along comes Chazal, and Rashi already mentions this, and Rashi says, in the name of Chazal, this was a Mido Keneged Mido. In other words, the fact that the word Rabba is used is to tell us that the destruction of the world, the entirety of the destruction of the world, was Mido Keneged Mido. Where's the Mida Keneged Mida? Say Chazal, Heim Chotu Barabo. Their chet was Rabo. Because the Pasuk says that the Ribbono Shel Olam looked and he saw that Rabo Roas Ha'oretz. That the evil that they did was Rabo. Therefore, the Mida Keneged Mida was that they got destroyed with the Tahim Rabo. Now that's very nice for a Chassidish River, but it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever, Lechura. Right? Fine, so you got the same word here, you got the same word there. It says Mida Keneged Mida. What's being said here by Chazal? So Chazal are telling us that the actual chatoim of the Dor HaMabul, which were Avodah Zarah, which were Chomos, which were Shvichas Domim, which were Gilu Arayos, they were only Teitzois. They weren't the Sheirish. What's the Sheirish? What's the root? Where was this all coming from? Says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Dor HaMabul, if you want to know what the source was, what was their Aveira? Barabba Kilkalu. They were Mekalkel Barabba. What does that mean? What does Mekalkel Barabba mean? So I once heard a Miridik Pshat from our Rashiva. I heard a Miridik Pshat from Ravram Gruvitz, Rashiva of Geita. Which wasn't his own Pshat. He quoted it from a Rabban Gadol. It's in a Sefer. It's quoted in a Sefer. The Sefer is called Kehelas Yitzchok. And the person who said this was a very famous individual. He was a Meirei Roa and a Maggid in Vilna. And he said the following. He said the Pshat is the following. When Adam HaRishon was created, when in the Seder of creation was he created? Answer, he was created the last. Right? That means that Adam HaRishon, when he came into the world, had everything laid out on a plate for him. Everything was there. Anything that he would need was already there for him. In other words, the whole world was prepared for Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon comes along and he'll now be able to use the entire world for his benefit. Gemara says this in Sanhedrin. Adam HaRishon Berev Shabbos Nivra Mit Neymar. Why did the Rebbe Shalom create Adam HaRishon last? Says the Gemara, Kadeshi Konis Lesuda Miyad, that you can straight away start eating. In other words, you can straight away start benefiting from the world. However, that's true. The world was created and that Adam HaRishon should benefit from it. However, the Rebbe Shalom had a plan. What was the Rebbe Shalom's plan? The Rebbe Shalom's plan was that you can have whatever you want and you can do whatever you want. However, there are limitations. What are the limitations? One of the basic differences between any religion that exists in the world and Judaism, for anybody who's even done, you know, basic course 101 in comparative religion, is the following. Every single religion in the world has things which are permitted and has things which are prohibited. Things which are totally permitted and things which are totally prohibited. There's only one religion in the world which has no such thing as totally prohibited or totally permitted. It doesn't exist. And that's Judaism. There's no such thing as something being totally prohibited or something being totally permitted. It all depends on how, when, where, and with whom. That's all. In other words, every religion in the world has this concept that if you will deny yourself completely from area X, you will then gain spirituality. And therefore, you've got religions that believe that a person will abstain from sexual relationships, therefore he will reach... And there are religions that maintain that if you will continuously fast and refrain from eating, you will reach spiritual heights. And there are religions that believe that if you will refrain from bodily hana and you sleep on a bed of nails for the rest of your life, you will reach spiritual heights. And the Torah says no such thing. The such thing as you having to refrain. It just depends when, where, how, and with whom. Everything is mutter within conditions. In other words, the holiest sod of Yiddishkeit, the holiest sod of Torah, the holiest sod of the Bria, because Rashis Bara Elikim, the Bria was created before that Torah Shenikra Rashis. The whole world was created because the concept is that man lives according to a certain plan. Be it a non-Jew lives according to the plan of Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, be it a Jew lives according to the plan of Tariyak Mitzvahs. The whole concept is you are Mugdar. You have your limitations. Yes, but. That's the yesod of the Bria. Yes, but. And therefore the chet of the Dor HaMabul was rabo. What does rabo mean? A lot. Too much. In other words, going overboard. In other words, destroying the limitations that are imposed. The chet of the Dor HaMabul wasn't the fact that they were shefech domim. It wasn't the fact that they were over on Yisrael Gzela. It wasn't the fact that they were over on Gilo Arayas. It was where this was coming from. Why were they over on Gilo Arayas? Because the Ribbono Shel Olam came along and the Ribbono Shel Olam said, fine, there's nothing wrong with relationships. As long as they are within parameters of when, how, who, where. But the minute you break those parameters, then you're in trouble. That's rabo. That's what the Ribbono Shel Olam saw. The Ribbono Shel Olam saw one thing and one thing only, Hefkeiros. The minute the Ribbono Shel Olam saw Hefkeiros, the minute the Ribbono Shel Olam saw that barriers are broken down, there's no such thing as Gedorim. There's no such thing as limitations. There's no such thing as structure. There's no such thing as discipline. You do the heck what you want. Then, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's nuclear fallout. That is something which is not only going to affect you, and it's not only going to affect the other guy, it affects the Bria as a whole, because the whole Bria was put here in order that there should be limitations. And therefore, if you're going to be in the Bria without limitations, you have no place in this Bria, then bang, get zapped out. We don't need you here. Hefkeiros. The concept of no barriers, of no gedorim, of doing what I want. That's the metzias of kulei ra. That's the metzias of a person, not who's giving into his yetzer at one time. That's a person who has a certain philosophy of life. That's a person who has a certain way of looking at things. Nobody tells me what to do because I can do what I want because I'm hefka. That's shayrish ra, says the Torah. How do you know? In other words, we all do Averis, right? We're all human beings. We all do Averis. How do we know if the Avera that we're doing is an Avera which is because basically we are nice, decent guys, but we sometimes slip up? Well, how do we know if the Avera that we're doing is an Avera which is coming from the fact that we are a Metzias of Kulei Ra? And if we're a Metzias of Kulei Ra, we're in deep trouble. How does a person know that? We find something very, very interesting. There are two occasions in the Torah where the Torah talks about major chatoim that were transgressed. Two examples in the Torah of chatoim, which are considered in the eyes of the Torah to be major. Major, that we're suffering from them until this very day. Chet ha'egel. What does it say by the Chet ha'egel? It says by the Chet ha'egel, Vayishma ha'om es ha'dovah ha'ra'azeh. Now after Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from the mountain, after Moshe Rabbeinu breaks the luchas, and after the Ribbono Shel Olam tells Moshe Rabbeinu these people are going to be zapped out because they were of the Aveda Zara. After everything, what does the pasuk say? That Vayishma Ha'om is Adova Hara Hazeh. The people started appreciating that they blew it, that they did something wrong here. And what was their reaction? So the pasuk says something very, very interesting. Vayisavlu. They were misavel. What does Vayisavlu mean? They went into mourning. Veloshan Avelus. The day beforehand, they're all prancing and dancing around the eagle, right? As if the greatest thing in the world has happened to them. Now all of a sudden, a day later, what's the tchusha, what's the feeling that they have? Vayisablu. They've got this feeling of avelus. When the meraglim come back and say the Lashon Hara and Eretz Yisrael, and then again are told and explained what the chet is that they did, and Am Yisrael, who agreed with the meraglim, are also told that because you agreed with the meraglim, you guys are going to be zapped out. You're not going to go and get into Eretz Yisrael. Your kids maybe, but not you. Says the pasuk, what was the reaction of Klal Yisrael? Vayis Ablu. Avelus. Two major chatoim which affect us at a yom hazeh. We're suffering until this day, according to Chazal, from the chet ha'meraglim and from the chet ha'egel. And in both cases, what does the Torah say? Vayis Avlu. And Vayis Avlu is Miloshen Avelus. What's Avelus? Avelus is mourning. What's mourning? What's the concept of mourning? When is a person misavel? In Halacha, a person is misavel when he loses something which is close to him, and when he loses something which is dear to him. And along comes the Torah, and the Torah defines what's considered to be close to a person, what's considered to be dear to a person. You don't sit shiva yimei avelus if you bankrupt. There's no halacha anywhere in Shulchan Aruch that a guy who had $10 million and lost $10 million has to sit shiva. Because in the eyes of the Torah, that's not considered money, it's not considered to be dear to a person, it's not considered to be chashuv to a person. You don't even sit shiva on your pet dog, even if you speak to it every day. You don't sit shiva on your pet dog. There's no such thing as sitting shiva on your pet dog. Why not? You don't sit shiva on your pet dog. Why not? Because, as far as the Torah is concerned, your pet dog is not something which is chashuv and which is and which is yokah to a person. Avedus is the reaction that a person has to the loss of something which the Torah defines as being dear to him and which the Torah defines as being important to him. What is Avedus? Why does a person feel a loss when Rahman al-Islam, a close relative, dies? Why is a close relative of the person is mechuyev to be misavul? And why? Because in his mind, there's a certain association, right? He conjures up in his mind the relationship that he has. He conjures up in his mind the situations that he were positive situations that he was in with the person, and then the realization hits him that it's over, it's finished, it's not going to happen. And if you're close with somebody, and that person dies, and you were really close to the person was ohov beinecho, and the person was makusha to you, and the person is important to you, you will constantly find yourself in a situation where you're instinctively saying, let me go and speak to him. He'll be able, or her, they'll be able to solve the problem for me. My Rebbe's been dead for 30 years, I don't know exactly. Yeah, Rebbe Lapin, 30 years probably, I think so. I don't think a day goes by in the yeshiva when something doesn't come up, when I don't say to myself, that's the sort of thing, you know, that's for Blake. He'd have a good insight on that. And then what's the tchusha that you get? What's the feeling that you get after that? Then you suddenly realize that it's gone, it's over. That kufa in your life, that period in your life, is over. And that's true of a parent, Rahman al-Islam, it's true of a sibling. Unfortunately, I'm in all those situations. There's constantly situations where you get this hargasha of, oh, if they were there, then this is the sort of occasion when I would go and talk to them about it. But they're not there. And therefore, what's the reaction that you have? That you're missing something. The Jew has to be tuned in with his spiritual side, that he has to understand, and this is what happened at the Chet HaEgel, this is what happened at the Chet HaMeraglim, that when you do a Chet, you've killed off a certain element of spirituality in you. That a person does a chet, you've lost a certain tyre, you've lost a certain tradition by doing the chet. Before you did the chet, you had a certain standard of kedusha and tyre, klapei Shmaya. The Rebbeinu Shlom saw in you a certain standard of kedusha and a certain standard of tyre. You did the chet, you lost it. And because Klal Yisrael, after the Chet HaEgel and after the Chet HaMeraglim, realized this loss, and in their mind they conjured up what they did have and what they don't have now, therefore the natural response was Vayis'ablu. You know why? Because Kedusha and Tyra was Choshev and Ohuv by them. It meant something to them. You know what we call Vayis'ablu in today's language? Conscience. Person doesn't have avera and he has a conscience, a guilty conscience, that's Vayis'ablu. If he feels bad about it, even for a second, that's the simon. That the ra is not bimahusay. He's a decent guy, be'etzem, he just messed up. But when a guy can do things without any conscience whatsoever, there's no pang of conscience whatsoever afterwards. Why is there no pang of conscience? Because it's not choshev by you, it's not kodesh by you, it's not tar. You never were kodesh and you never were tar. Why not? Because what creates the kedusha and the tyra? the limitations that the Torah imposes, the Gedorim. But I'm a Metzias of Efkeris, that's what I am. I'm a Metzias of a person who has no limitations, who has no Gedorim. My life is a life of Efkeris. I can do what I want, when I want, how I want, and with whom I want. And nobody tells me what to do. And therefore I have no conscience. If you have no conscience, then you're in trouble. Because if you have no conscience, then you basically you end up in this in this geder, if you want to call it, or this definition, if you want to call it, of rak kol hayon, the sofi tevis are amolik. Then you're a clipper of amolik. The Torah isn't telling us historical facts. We don't need the Torah to tell us historical facts, because historical facts aren't going to get us anywhere. We're just going to repeat the same mistakes anyway. The Torah is telling us an outlook. Hashkafas Hachaim. When the Torah tells us the story of the Mabul, the Torah is not telling us the story of the Mabul just because it was an interesting event that happened in the history of mankind. The Torah is telling us the story of the Mabul because the Mabul is a Musa Shmuz. Because the Mabul is telling us something about the human personality. None of us are tzaddikim, and none of us will be tzaddikim. Let's not fool ourselves. We're always going to be in a matzav of nisoyen, and we're always going to fail. Because Ein Adam Boreh Asher Yechteh, it's a pasuk. It doesn't exist in the metzias of somebody who doesn't do a chet. Says the Ribbono Shel Olam, the fact that people are going to do chatoim, that doesn't worry me, says the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Dor HaMabul was destroyed because it wasn't good people who were doing Averis. It was people who were Kulei Ra. What's the Ra that they were Kulei Ra? Rabbas Ra Saaretz. Because they broke all the barriers. It was Efkeris. There was no limitations. And if there are no limitations, there's no conscience. If there's no conscience, there's nothing. When Noach comes out of the Teva, what does he do? When Noach comes out of the Teva, the first thing he does is he offers up Korbanis. That's the first thing he does. Chazal say Korbanis, and the Rambam brings this in Hilchas Me'ila as a fact. Says the Rambam in Hilchas Me'ila, even though maybe in Mori Nevuchim he's given all sorts of strange reasons as to why the Torah commanded Korbanis, says the Rambam, at the end of the day, Chayk Chakakti. There's absolutely no logic and no rationale in the concept of Korbanis. If there is something in the Torah which emphasizes, which symbolizes, which concretizes the concept of I live within a world of limitations, it's the concept of I do things without even knowing why, because the Ribbono Shel Olam told me to do them. It's chok. And when Noach comes out of the Teva, and the first thing he does is he's makriv korbanos, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, whoa, here's somebody with whom I can start everything all over again. Here's somebody who pshat is that even if he's going to do averis, and he will do averis, and Noach didn't averis when? Day later. Went out and got drunk. Right? Source for all seders getting drunk. It doesn't worry me. Why? Because it's not a rabba etzer. It's ki yetzer. Ramin, or if it's just a yetzer hara. It's just a milchama between the yetzer tov and the yetzer hara. When the Torah says that the reason for the mabul was the Adam Ra, it means that the person was Ra, the Metzias of the person was Ra. After that Krovus Korbanos of Noach, when the Torah says Ra, there it's talking about Yeter Ra HaAdam. There it's talking about the Yetzer Hara. That the Ribbono Shel Olam can deal with. Rabbeisai, it's frightening. The Torah comes along and the Torah says the following. If a guy does anything which goes against what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants, and he has absolutely no pang of conscience about it, then he's a clipper of Amalek, and he will not survive. That's what the Torah says. Now, how do you know whether a person has a conscience about something, or he doesn't have a conscience about it? So the Rambam answers the question. Where does he answer the question? In the place where obviously this will be a topic of discussion, in Hilchos Tshuva. And the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva, what's the ultimate tshuva? How do you know that a guy has done tshuva? How do you know that a guy regrets what he did? Because one of the essences of tshuva is regret. Says the Rambam, if he has a guilty conscience. Says the Rambam, how do you know that he had a guilty conscience? You don't know what's going on inside the person, so how do you know if the person had a guilty conscience or not? Says the Rambam, very simple. Put him in the same situation again. Oisa, Isha, the same girl. Oisa, Zman, same time. Oisa, Mokum, the same place as Rambam. Put him in exactly the same situation again and see what happens. If he does it again, then he's got no conscience. Then he's a mufka. And if he's a mufka, there's no tshuva, there's nothing. He's got no schuskia. If you put him in the same situation again and he manages to survive that situation and not to do the Avera, then you know that it was a one-time slip and it's not going to happen again. But a guy who mitchilechatchila turns around and says, no way, he doesn't stand a chance. That's unbelievable. If you come to a guy and you say to a guy, you know what? Try. Give me 10 minutes. Yeah? I saw that this week. This week was the first time for about a long time that I came into contact with Amalek. It was a big Shiloh, whether you shoot him on the spot or not, just didn't have a gun. Right? Tried a knife, but these plastic knives are a waste of time, whatever the stupid American Airlines think. Right? Total waste of time. You say to a guy, give me 10 minutes in a morning seder, and the guy says, no way. Yeah, I'll give you 10 minutes from 11 to 12 at night. That morning, forget it. That's a monarch. There's no conscience there. There's nothing. There's a chayrus. In other words, no, don't give me any limitations. Don't tell me when, what, and when. And this repeats itself and repeats itself in every single area. Yeah, I'm telling you, everybody's going to do a chayrus. But in the same matzav again, and you do it again, day in, day out. Every night, I remove the tefillin from the Eitz HaSfarim where they're not meant to be, and it disturbs very much, and it creates a lot of halachic problems, and put them in here where they're meant to be. And that's Agav wanted to say to everybody, that they should not put their tefillin in there. Put the tefillin in here. Eventually I'll just throw them out and finish, because most of them probably pass away. So there's a certain pair of tefillin, some of them I sort of like put them in odd places. Because I'm very interested to see whether the guy's actually going to come and ask for them or not. But there's one pair that's been around already for 3 days, nobody's touched it. Nobody's touched it, gone anywhere near it. I'm thinking of selling it on eBay. I mean, why not? If they make some money for this year. That's on my leg. That's a guy who's got no conscience. In other words, no problem. I've got no problem, says the Rebbe Shlomo. But they don't come to tie this to me. Right? When the notices go up, deceased, unfortunately, at an early age, right, from an overdose. Right? So the Rebbe Shlomo, not my problem. In fact, maybe there'll be a chizit, there'll be some friends, I'll learn some Mishnayos to Halachas Chofetz Chaim a day for 4 days. That was one of the big Misera, which lasts about 4 days in a row. That's the Metzias. The Metzias is Amalek. Timcha Azecha Amalek, says Rabbi Shalom. Wipe him out, has no schus here.